Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Can I have that clip quickly? And then, thank you. Amen. That's part of what I do back home in Uganda. And I'm so privileged to be with you again in this place. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. You had a wonderful morning today, and I'm so privileged. Thank you so much, Pastor Philip and Pastor Yaku and all the ministers of Shofar. Shofar is a big family to me. I've been coming in South Africa from the year 2015. It's only COVID that stopped me from coming. But yes, we are here back again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Maybe a little introduction. I'm married. I have a wife. My wife is called Justine. And I have two kids. Justine is my wife. We've been married for 5 years. This July 15th, we make 5 years anniversary by the grace of God. And we have a daughter, Bethany Wright, Chidiowa. And we have a last born who is 6 months. He's called Othniel. So Othniel is a son, and we love him. We already miss my family. Just have been a few days here, but I'm here, and they're there, and we're together in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to share something again with you, what God has put in my heart for this evening. As I've been reflecting and having a quiet time and praying, and this is what I felt God has speak to us tonight, and myself and to you. I pray that you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Can you turn the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 8, verses 25? Acts chapter 8, verses 25. I'm going to read from there quickly. The Bible says, "And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go to the south road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.' And he arose and went. And behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And as he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading a prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Amen. I'll stop there for a moment. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth." So Jesus, you know, I was just reflecting on this message. You know, the Holy Spirit is so important to us. It's of a great value to our lives. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the earth that all contains with it belongs to the Lord. You know, it said that 1,000 cattle on hills all belong to him. But Jesus, you know, when he was leaving, he said that I'm going to the Father. It is for your advantage that I go to the Father that he may send you the Holy Spirit. So there's a reason why Jesus did not tell us that I'm leaving the old earth, you inherit everything there. It's yours. But he chose something that was so important. And he said, this one is a promise from the Father that I go that he may send him to you. So there's a reason why he said that you shall receive the Holy Spirit and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that you may become my witnesses everywhere. So here we are in South Africa. People are everywhere preaching the gospel, but you are here. And I am also here in South Africa. I come from Uganda. So the Holy Spirit is given to us for a reason, that we may fulfill what Jesus started. And it's also given to us that he may give us the understanding of the kingdom cause in our lives. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, he knows the mysteries of God. Without him, you cannot know the secrets of God. It is a free gift given to us. So we have to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person himself. Are we together? So he desires that he walk with us this journey. So the Holy Spirit is given to the church. Now, in the Acts of Apostles, the disciples were told, you shall go in the upper room, you wait upon the Holy Spirit. And so they were waiting upon him. One day, as they were praying, he came down. You know, something that's very interesting when you read that chapter 2. They were not praying in tongues. They were praying, I can say, they were praying in a kind of way. Because they were not yet given the Holy Spirit. They were praying and praying, but waiting upon the promise that it will come. On the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. And like the flames of fire were resting on each and every one of them. And they began to speak in other languages. Many people had them speaking their language. The Arabia people from Greece, from many other countries, Ethiopia, Libya, they had them speaking their language. That is a mystery. How can I speak Afrikaans? I've not learned Afrikaans. How can I speak Sotho, you know, any other language, and I've not learned it? The Spirit of God came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The fire of God was upon them, rested upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. And they were in Jerusalem. So the Bible says that when they received the Holy Spirit, they will become his witness in Jerusalem, both in Judea and Samaria, to the end parts of the world. So they were in Jerusalem. Something very sad, you know, you see that if you read the Bible, you see the apostles so much rested in Jerusalem. They never so much went to Samaria and or to preach the gospel. They were there, and works became so much for them that now they had to appoint some men who can serve food and tables and the widows. And they say it's good for us to take care of to read the word, minister to the people, and minister unto them and pray for the people, because there was a great need. So they said, let's choose men among you so who can help and do that work. So among them, they chose Philip. So Philip was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, anointed, full of wisdom, but he was serving tables. So the Bible says there was a persecution that came. And Stephen was the first one to be killed. In chapter 8, the Bible says that there was no small disturbance. So of these people, there was a persecution that dispersed many of them to other places in Samaria, but except the apostles. So still the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. No, that's something that is like, and these are the first people who had the first gospel. The Bible says clearly in chapter 8, verses 1 of Acts,
except the apostles. The rest of them went to other places. You know, when chapter 1, verses 8 of apostles failed to the apostles, God brought chapter 8, verses 1. Now the persecution came, they went out to preach the gospel. So we see this time, this man called Philip. Philip, he went out, began to preach the gospel. In chapter 8, verses 4, miracles happened in his life, but it was a man serving tables. When persecution came, he rose with others. They went to preach the gospel. So in particular, Philip, the Bible says, he went in Samaria, preached the gospel. He preached Christ. He did not preach anything else. He was preaching Christ. So the Bible says that he began to preach, and mountains of people gave their life to Christ. People were healed by him. And the Bible says, when the apostles heard what was happening in Samaria, they said, hey, let's go there. So they sent Peter and John, and they went there, laid hand upon the people to preach the gospel. I mean, to receive the Holy Spirit. So they laid hands upon them, they received the Holy Spirit, prayed over them, and encouraged them. So the Bible says, verse 25, and now they were going back to Jerusalem with Philip. So they came to Samaria. Now it was like they were getting Philip to come here. Please, Philip, come back to Jerusalem. They were taking him to a place, I can say, of comfort, where he was doing his normal work of serving tables. But the Spirit of God was working on already in the life of Philip. And the Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and told him, don't go there, go in the eastward. So Philip's direction was changed because the angel of the Lord spoke to him. He never intended him to go back to Jerusalem because he left there for a reason. Some of us, God will bring what we call a disturbance in life, that he may take you to a place where you are supposed to be. Sometimes it's kind of a discomfort. Sometimes God will entreat your spirit and say, this is what you have to do. And you feel like it's out of your convenience. I've always told people, we do not serve God in our convenient time. I'll repeat that. We do not serve God in our convenience. Anytime we preach the gospel in a season and out of seasons. Shout hallelujah. That's what I believe. Even in COVID time, we are preaching the gospel. No meetings, nothing. But he could sneak out and say, somebody, Jesus loves you. Because death non-stop. Even in COVID time, people were dying and people were going to hell. And people were going to heaven at the same time. So there's no convenience for us when people are going to hell. So the Bible says, Philip was going with them to Jerusalem. As they were going preaching the gospel in the villages of Samaritan, the angel told him, Philip, change your direction. I sense this evening that God is about to give you a new direction in your life. And that direction is a direction of purpose. It's not just to do anything as you wish, but going according to the will of the Father. And the Bible says that he arose and he went. When you hear the call of God, arise and go and preach the gospel. Do the purpose of God. So the Bible says he rose and went there. Then he found a eunuch who was an Ethiopian man, an official. He was a man of a great position in Ethiopia. Are we together? So this is what happened. This man was leaving, going back to his country in Ethiopia, and he was having the book he was reading about Prophet Isaiah. But he did not understand what he was reading. The Bible says that then he told him, the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. He finds him and found him reading this book of Isaiah, prophet, and he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand when nobody guides me? Now listen something. This man is leaving Jerusalem. He's going back home. But even what he's reading, he does not understand. We have so many people who come to worship and they still go back and say, I did not understand. He was going back home reading something that he never understood. And yes, he was not born again. Think about it. He has come to a place where they worship God. In that moment, the Spirit of God was there. But he comes there and gets just the book of prophet Isaiah. And he's going back home, but what he's reading is not understanding. On purpose, God had to divert Philip to go and meet this man because he needed his soul. Are we together? Where do you come to Jerusalem to worship? You've come and worship, but you're going back. Your life is not changed. You've not met the Savior. You've not been baptized. You don't know. You have no relationship with him. So the Lord says, I have a plan for you, you Nachman. I'll send you Philip. So Philip hears the word of God. He obeys the word of God. He runs that place. And the Bible says he meets this man with a chariot. And he asked him. The Spirit of God tells him, go up. And then he went there and asked him, do you understand? He said, I don't understand. Then he said, please come and sit with me here. The man invited him. And he began to explain to him, who was Isaiah? Who was he talking about? And he was talking about the Savior, who's Jesus Christ. God does not want us to come to church and we go back the same way. He doesn't want us to stay in the same situation for all the times. There must be something that must come into your life as a deposit from the presence of God. That when you go back home, something supernatural, divinely has touched your life. And if you today, yes, it was a good service. Yes, that was the presence of God. I did not live the same way how I came. There is something that God would love to do into your life. Amen. So, this man's life was changed there. But he came to Jerusalem to worship. Even what he worshiped, he did not understand. Because he was not introduced to Jesus and the power of his Spirit. So the Bible says, Philip began to preach to this man. And I just try to imagine, he's trying to persuade him. You know when you know somebody's gone to hell? The Bible says, he who does not have a spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So this man, that's Romans 8 verse 9. He who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. So this man, Jesus, had a plan for him. He said, you've come to worship in the city where I walked. You are not going back to Ethiopia the same. Because he knew, when you go back to Ethiopia with the Holy Ghost, when you have Jesus, they don't tell us his story later on, but I believe this man's life was ignited. He went back with the joy of the Holy Ghost. He was baptized. His life was not the same anymore. The Bible says, then he told him all the truth. He prayed to him, Jesus Christ, as always. And the man said, the eunuch said, look, water is here. What prevents me from being baptized? Immediately the man was like, you've talked about water? It is here. I want to receive this one. I just try to imagine this man going back to Ethiopia in a great position of influence and his life has been changed. Just imagine your life. One day, one moment that you receive something supernatural in your life. Yes, you are born again. But the Bible says in the book of John chapter 3, verse 34, he gave the Spirit without measure. God gives us the Spirit without measure. So every day we need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Every day we need to be empowered in his presence. Every day we need to walk in obedience if you live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. The Ethiopian man, the eunuch, he was living a place, but he was not changed. My prayer always that nobody should come to the place of worship and live the same way. You can't come to worship Jesus, the King of Kings, and it does not touch your life. This man's life was changed. Why? Philip did not go back to Jerusalem because God told him to go somewhere else. And immediately after baptizing him, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God snatched him away. Ha! I call that Philip's flight of the Holy Ghost. He was just there and the eunuch saw him no more. Imagine I'm here. In a second, you don't see me. You may say there was a ghost here. But when we know how the Spirit of God works in his obedience in our lives, I tell you, you are about to change the lives of people, because it is written, we have the treasure in this earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of his power may be of him, not from ourselves. So you know you don't live on your own. God is working in your life. His presence is working with you. What makes you different from other people is the presence of God. You know, God will just step up into your life and something will happen quickly into your life. You know, one thing I hate is the arrogance of the devil. I hate the devil's arrogance. I'll tell you a very true story. Something like 4 years back, I bought a taxi, the public service taxis. So I bought it in. I found there was a beautiful lady. She was preaching Jesus. I don't know how here in South Africa, if they preach Jesus in taxis or what, on trains or how train, I don't know. But this lady was preaching Jesus. And she was like, the Lord loves each and everyone. Everybody was silent. When I entered, do a business, listen to the woman, what she was saying. And then after like a few minutes, the taxi stopped somewhere. And then some other guy entered. And he was holding a blue, a blue bag, porcelain bag. So he entered the taxi. You know what he said? He said, driver, stop the car. This woman should go out. She is shouting to us. I'll pay her seat. I said in my heart, I just had the holy anger. In the name of Jesus, you know, she's preaching the gospel and you are silencing her to speak the gospel. On top of that one, you want her to come out of the taxi that you may pay her seat. I said, the devil, you a liar. You are in the wrong place. I told the conductor and the driver, can you stop the car that this man will go out? I'll pay his seat and I'll pay for the woman's seat to continue preaching the gospel. Immediately the taxi stopped. The man went out. I said, I'm going to pay, even if he was stopping there, I'm going to pay for his seat out of town. And this woman, I'm paying her transport. We continued the journey. Everybody just looked around like this. I said, yes. Yeah, how can you stop people from preaching the gospel? You know, as I was about to come out of the taxi, the man who was seated next to me, when the woman said, she asked, is there anybody here who wants to receive Jesus? And the man said, I want to receive Jesus. Can you imagine if I kept silent, what would have happened to this man? How do you know if it was his last chance to believe Jesus and was done that night? The man believed Jesus. The other one left. If you want to go to hell, let him go to hell, but he can't stop you from getting saved. I can't allow that. Praise Jesus. So, what we need in our lives is to walk in obedience. We want our lives to be changed. I want us to be encouraged and to allow the Holy Spirit to walk and to work and impact our lives. That you don't walk like any other people walk, but you know you're a child of God, empowered with a supernatural divine power to do his will. Isaiah said, and the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. You have the anointing. You know, some people think, that's a pastor's anointing. That's somebody's anointing. It doesn't belong to me. He who believes in him receives that. He said, those who believe in my name, they shall do what? Speak in tongues, drive out devils, cast out demons in my name. If you believe, the qualification is believing Christ. So if you believe in Jesus, you can lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You lay hands upon many people and they shall receive the Holy Ghost. They'll speak in your tongues. Why? Because you are chosen of God. You are anointed by God. The anointing is upon your life. When you understand that, you activate anointing. By exercising that, what God has given to you. Amen. The man came to worship. He was going back the way he came. I don't want to come here and go back the same way. No. At least there should be a word that will change your life. And know yesterday I was empowered. We should not let people come to church. You should not let people come to your house and they live the same way. How do you come to my house and live the same way? I will pray something and say, God loves you. Oh, I'll pray with you. I'll impart something inside of your life. How can you leave my house the same way? It's impossible. I always love somebody when he comes to me or come into my path, that his life will be encouraged because you are encouragers. When somebody comes into your life, he should be encouraged just by even seeing you. Because there is something, there's a glory. When you begin to speak something, you speak with anointing. You speak with a graceful lips. The Bible says, let nothing unwholesome, nothing like corrupt word come out of your tongue. But let every word that comes out of your mouth minister grace unto those who listen to you. That is only possible if you have the Holy Spirit. Because you speak where it's necessary. You speak when he has told you. You'll be empowered by him and walk that journey with the Holy Spirit. Philip's life never remained the same. The Bible says he was snatched away. And went somewhere else, began to preach the gospel everywhere. Until when he came to Caesarea. I love to read about Philip's life, the evangelist. You know what happened to him? He was in Caesarea for a long time. Even Paul, who was converted later on, he came into his house and stayed there for some days. Philip, he invited Paul to come into his house. He had four daughters who were prophetess. His life was immensely blessed because he responded. You've not only known what is inside of you, but the moment the Spirit of God gives you a glimpse of what is inside of your life, I'll tell you, you shall walk with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And every time you see somebody else like, yeah, you need Jesus. Or you see a sick person, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If he recovers, he recovers. If he doesn't, he doesn't. It's not your part to heal. If your part is to obey and pray and God deliverance to that person. Yes, I've prayed for people and they haven't recovered. I have prayed for many and they have recovered as well. I have prayed for the crippled to walk and they have walked. That blind woman you saw there, she was totally blind for 10 years. And God opened her eyes on crusade. It happens. I'll tell you something. When you go out, you will see more miracles in your life than when you stay in one place. In your house, try out and see what God will do. We have to go where people are and then come back and say, Pastor Philip, miracles happened somewhere. I went somewhere, miracles happened. This is a report of souls. I told the people in the first service in the morning, I told them, you know, when the year ends, we have this testimony. Thank God I had a brand new car. I had a Jaguar. I had a Ranger. I bought a brand new house. Oh, it's so nice. I got a very nice iPhone. Oh my God, it was an awesome year. My tuition was paid. I thank God for all those testimonies. But there is a greater testimony that you would say. I always love to come at the end of the year and tell God, I thank you for 1,000 souls that I brought into the kingdom. To me, that's a great testimony. Because these things, the best clothes, the best cars, the good houses, when you come out of the body, they will stay here. But to heaven with the souls. Amen. That's what it's about. But it starts with us. Now, I want to tell you something very, very important. We're going to pray with you. We're going to take time to pray. Jesus, when he fed the disciples, the 5,000 people, after he preached, the Bible says he saw them who were hungry and he had compassion over them. And he said, I cannot let them go back home the way they're here. They're hungry. They were far on the way. You know what happened? And the Bible says, quickly, he told them, the disciples, you know the story, no so? You know the story very well. There's something I want to go to quickly because of time. So he told the disciples, sit down, make the people sit down in groups, and then the Bible says he got a bread, fish, he broke and blessed it and gave them. Now the Bible says clearly that he sat before the apostles or the disciples, and as he gave them, they sat before the people. Now, some of us, we focus so much on the miracle that Jesus, he fed the 5,000 or the 4,000, but there's something that we miss there. That the people were fed as Jesus received, he gave the disciples. And the disciples gave the people. So, in the middle there, we have Jesus, we have the disciples, and we have the congregation. So, Jesus gave the disciples that they may give to the people who are hungry. So, God is looking for somebody as a conduit of blessing that may reach out the people. Are you understanding that? Pastor Yaku, come. Sorry, raise up, Pastor. So, Pastor Yaku is Jesus. My sister, come. And this is a disciple. And here I am. I'm the hungry 5,000 people. I represent them. So as he breaks the bread, blessed it, he broke all the limitation because it was not enough for the people. So he broke the limitation, he blessed and broke the limitation and gave to the disciple. So the disciple gives to me. For me, I'm satisfied. I don't even mind about him, but I know Jesus has fed me. This is what happens. We miss the link. We are the servants of God that God uses. We must give them respect because they receive from the kingdom to give us what we need. I'll go back and say it. So, God is looking for the conduits of blessing. And I'll tell you something, that there is so much that God is going to bless through you that is going to bless you. I'll say it again. There is so much that God is going to bless through you to other people. Then actually he's going to bless you. But he knows that you will have what you need. And it's enough for you. Doesn't make sense to you. So, I always tell God, use me as a conduit. If it is your anointing, let it flow through me and lead to others. You're going to find that God will bless you with more money to bless with people than what you can contain yourself. But you make sure you have enough. You see, when man Philip stands up and he preaches the gospel, you don't know what happened in Eunuch's man's life. But I believe when he went back to Ethiopia, something must have happened to his life with the people around him. You bless one person, but you are feeding thousands of people that you don't know. So don't limit yourself. That's why Jesus had to break the limitation from the bread. He wants to give you enough, but are you willing to deliver to other people? You have so much anointing. Hey, I read the Bible every day. Any preached gospel is not gospel. The gospel has power when it has been preached. So I want to say always, so God, use me as a conduit that you may walk through my life to others. That's enough. I may not have enough with myself, but I make sure that what God you've given me in my capacity, I am able to give to somebody who needs it. So you become a conduit. You have all this powered system here because there is somewhere where the supply is, they connect flow. So you can receive the sound and say, it was a good music, but there's a power source. So we must plug into that power source, and that's the Holy Ghost. When you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. And this power is to change your life forever. That's it. You shouldn't leave the presence of God the same way you came. You must always allow him to walk through your life. Always allow him to help you, that you may know that he's God and he's a faithful God to uplift you, to change your life, to give you a direction. Philip's direction was changed. He was going back to Jerusalem with them. Then the Lord changed his direction. Some of us, maybe we've been walking the wrong path in our lives and you're seeking God for a purpose. It's never too late to ask God, give me a purpose. Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I in Pretoria? You are here in Pretoria for a reason. Why am I in Shofar? I'm here for a reason. You are here for a reason. Make use of that time. God wants us. God needs us. And people need us. For you to go to those people, you need the revelation that without you, God can't reach those people. Because he's only going to come in flesh again. That day is coming back in glory. But you are here. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. You become a vessel of honor. God is looking for people that he can empower. He's looking for people who can carry the glory. I try to imagine Peter walking and his shadow heals the people. Do you know what happened? The Bible says, and people knew that Peter was going to pass that way. He did not know. If you study the scriptures very well, Peter did not know people are preparing for him. The Bible says, and they knew Peter was going to walk this path. So the Bible says, they laid people on the streets. That as he's walking, maybe his shadow will touch them. So you see, Peter is walking. He's walking, come on the street, and just his shadow touches lives of people. And I just try to imagine, then he looks around, somebody's healed, by his shadow. Let me tell you something. There are people's lives that may be changed without you knowing, but because you obeyed God. Peter was just walking. He didn't pray for them, but his shadow. Your shadow will heal people. Your hand, which is hidden, will heal people. Your compassion. You may just smile at somebody and just somebody say, no one has ever smiled to me. And you have brought him that person. It's possible. I met a man 2018 here in Pretoria. I visited their house. He was 62 years. And just looking to him, he told me, Sam, pray for me. Because I swear, looking in his eyes, he was so depressed. I told him, what's happening? I told him,
Is there something that happened when you're still young? He told me, yes. It's been disturbing me. You know what happened? He told me his father had never told him anything that you are good. Every time it was criticism, you aren't good enough. You can't do it. You're like this. You're like this. So the man's life was so... Even when he was older, he still remember that pain when he was still young. I'll tell you what. He cried like a baby. And he was crying and tears were rolling over. And God delivered him. That's what's called the mercy and the grace of God through your life to other people. All together. So I want us to pray for ourselves tonight. I don't know where you're standing. I don't know what you're going through. But put your eyes away from all that. Look at Jesus. And let him straighten your path. Let him make you to walk this journey with excellency. And allow him to lead you. Because the Bible says the word of God is a lamp to my feet. And is a light to my path. The word of God will always light every path where you go. It's just a matter of time and the obedience to him. That's what it's about. You shouldn't be the same. You should allow him to walk you the journey. Allow him to bring healing to your life. If there's anything you feel like maybe have anxiety, you are depressed in your heart, allow God to walk you through that journey. You know, we may go through situations, Pastor, and I have an example. You see these ships, the way how they're embroidered and they're made to go through the storms. They go through the storm. That's how they're made, to hit the waves, to hit the storms and go through. But the moment they have any leaking part there, I tell you, water is going to go through them. What will happen? They will drown into the water. What am I saying? As long as you can go through the storm and the storm does not go through you, you are just safe to go to the other side. As long as you, the boat, can push through the storms and the waves, through the waters, you are able to go to the side. As long as you do not allow the waters to go through you. Because when the waters go through you, you're about to drown. But let me tell you something. Even when you're drowning, and then you remember the name of the Lord, he will come forth and he will deliver you. Because he never fails. The Bible says he's a very present time. He's a very present helper in a time of need. That is our God. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That he will lead us. He will help us to walk through this journey by his presence. Amen. Raise up on your feet. Amen. So, I want us to pray for ourselves. I want us to lift up our voices and talk to God. In the few minutes we have, we just need Jesus. This eunuch man needed Jesus. He needed a savior. But he don't understand how. Even what was written never understood. We need a revelation from God. The surpassing greatness of his power. We have this treasure in the earthen vessels. The treasure is Christ Jesus himself in us. In the earthen vessels. That the surpassing greatness of his power may not be from us but from him. That is it. Amen. So I want to take this moment and talk to God. And just tell him what you need from God. What do you allow him to do in your life? You give man an invitation and say, Lord, here I am, use me. You can use me in my family. You also can deliver me from what I'm going through. Sometimes we go through situations. No, and the situation have gone through us as well. And even when we look at ourselves, it seems that we have no hopes tomorrow. But our Redeemer lives. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no any other name that is given to us that man shall be saved. But through the name of Jesus. But if you're there as well and you've never given life to Christ or you feel there's somewhere that you're losing the track, you've lost the election, you feel you want to give back your life to Jesus, you feel like you're far away from His presence, you're not so much connected to Him, you feel like you need Jesus to save your life, you're welcome to come on front. We pray together. Just to allow Him. Just to allow Him into your life. He's so faithful. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.